Welcome to Inner Mom's Basement Video Game Podcast, where we talk about everything video games with your host, Dan Giofue and Rage Quit Pat.
What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? We are back with episode 52. I am Dan, and I guess I'm going to have to say this of Pizza Man, because it's never going to die.
Pizza.
And I'm joined with Rage Quit Pat.
What's going on, Dan? I hope you enjoyed that little introduction I put together for you.
We're getting really bad feedback, so if you want to... Oh, I think that might be me, though. So, anyways, before we jump into the show, of course, I'm going to tell you where to find us. You can find us on Google, iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Stitcher, Snatcher, Anchor, at Inner Mom's Basement, and on our website at Inner Mom's Basement on... Facebook, Twitter, at Inner Mom's Basement, pretty much anywhere at the same place. So we got some breaking news lined up and all that stuff. Pat, you want to kick that open while I open up the doc?
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to get in here really quick. The Resident, you know, we don't get games early or anything like that. It's very not very often that we finish a game before our podcast. Usually we're either just starting a game or actually just kind of in the middle of the game. But actually, this is one of the very reviews here where I actually finished the game. So I just kind of want to get into a quick review of Resident Evil 3. I played the multiplayer as well, so I'll dive into that one really quick. Just do a quick review here. So let's talk of the positives, and then I'll get my final verdict. So we'll start with Resident Evil 3 really quick. So Capcom definitely has set the new standard on how a remake should be made. Again, as they did with Resident Evil 2, they kind of rewrote the story and how things play out. Of course, the nemesis is still haunting Jill. She meets up with Carlos. There's still some set pieces that are from the original 1999 game, but they've definitely rewrote the story as they did with 2. But they definitely set the new standard in that case. They have showed how to make a remaster, so definitely a good thing there. Gameplay is fantastic, of course. The same gameplay as from Resident Evil 2, over the shoulder, third person. It's still fantastic. They did bring back from Resident Evil 3 the dodge mechanic, and if you do a well-timed dodge, you'll kind of get a little Max Payne-ish slow motion action shot, which is cool. So the gameplay is definitely fantastic. If you're a huge fan of Resident Evil 2, remake, you're definitely going to love the gameplay of Resident Evil 3. This one definitely is a little bit more action-based. The survival horror is still there, though. There are still some jump scares. Ammo is still going to be very scarce at some points. You know, of course, when you customize ammo, you're not going to get a lot sometimes, but there's some perks, which are later on when you beat the game. But definitely a little bit more action than Part 2. But definitely these scares are still there. And, of course, Jill Valentine's back. Jill Valentine, a fan favorite of the series. She's back. She's badass. She is awesome. It was great to run through the game again as Jill Valentine. She is probably my favorite female protagonist of the series. Claire, of course, is a real close second. But Jill is such a badass. But yeah, I mean, again, this is we haven't really, you know, Dan and I normally when we do a podcast, we're either in the middle of a game or we just start a game. This is like one of the very few times that we've actually finished a game and able to review it. So really excited about that. Dan, you kind of want to get in on some news here. I see you have some Warzone and a couple other things to share.
Well, I guess that was some exciting Resident Evil news. yeah, so nothing too major. I know that Apex patch dropped today, and there's some not confirmed, but there's some news that Apex is probably going to be going crossplay soon. But of course, I said there's going to be no shared progress or purchases. So if you're playing on PlayStation, you want to play on PC, you got to start from zero. So progress will reset. And finally, Warzone. For all the Warzone players, which is a game I've been pretty addicted to recently, quad starts tomorrow. So teams of four are going to be dropping starting tomorrow, which is super exciting. Freaking finally. Hopefully duos come next. So nothing too busy.
Yeah, so I haven't played too much Warzone. So what is it, just solo and stuff like as of right now? It was just solo?
No, it's solos and threes.
Threes, okay. So then duos and quads looks like they're on. Well, quads you definitely mentioned are on the horizon.
Quads, yeah, but definitely not duos yet.
Okay, that's interesting. I guess they're going with the Apex approach where they're kind of slowly adding the new modes and stuff like that, it seems.
Oh, Apex doesn't even have freaking duo. Yeah. So Apex used to be fun, but Warzone's just way better. Oh, yeah, Chuck, I thought you were somebody else. I joined your Warzone. I was just sitting in your party for like minutes. I'm like, yo, bro, start the party. And I was just like, yo, you're not in my party. And I was like, shit, wrong person.
And also really quick, we had some news from last week, the unfortunate news of Sony delaying The Last of Us 2 and Iron Man VR. We're actually going to touch up on something in a second. Sony did release some positive news, but it definitely seems like Last of Us is going to be next generation at this point. There's no, and we'll just kind of jump into it. PlayStation announced their DualSense controller. After the bad news of all those cancellations, we got a new controller. Not the DualShock 5, the DualSense controller. It is a good look. I like the look. It looks, the curve kind of reminds me of an Xbox controller. I don't know if you agree with me, Dan, on that, but the way it's kind of shaped, it kind of looks like a Xbox controller. What is your verdict on the design of it?
Yeah, it's definitely bulkier. So it definitely has that shape, a little bit more thickness. Like the Xbox controller definitely looks a little bit more similar. I think it has the same approach. The PlayStation controller seemed to be a little bit smaller, and I think a lot more people are just tend to get used to the bigger one. So I'm happy that it's a little bit bigger. I know actually a couple people say, it's a little bit bigger, and they go into the same route as, the Xbox controller. And a lot of people seem to like that route, so.
Yeah, the triggers look really good, too. I do like the triggers that they've added on that one, too, which is really good. As I'm reading through the hardware really quickly here, there's no longer a shared button. It's going to be a create button feature, which they said will pioneer new ways for players to create epic gameplay content to share with the world or just enjoy for themselves. So the share button is gone. And then this one's really interesting. Adds in a built-in microphone array, which will enable players to easily chat with friends without a headset. So that's really interesting. This is the first we've ever seen something like this. What do you think about that, Dan? Any comments on those things with the create button and the built-in microphone?
Well, that microphone thing sounds a little bizarre because I can't imagine a built-in microphone on a controller. I can't imagine the sound quality of all the background sound that's going to pick up. You're going to have to be in a super quiet room.
There we go. I read the, more ideal for a quick conversation. And of course, if you want to chat longer, it's good to have a headset. So it seems like, I do agree with you with that sound quality, but it looks like they're kind of going for the, oh, hey, let me just pop in and say hello, but hold on, let me grab my headset.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool and all, but I don't think it's a useful feature. I mean, I think people are just going to intend to use it as a permanent option. Oh, you know what? I'm too lazy to get my headset. Oh, my headset broke. Now I don't need to go buy one. I'll just use this. And now these people who are going to be using their headset, are we going to be hearing them smash their buttons and move their joysticks? Are we going to be hearing all that noise? Yeah.
Another thing here, it has a, looks like a rechargeable battery. So it looks like there is not going to be any batteries. I know Xbox did say that their new controller is going to still have AA, and then of course you could put a rechargeable battery. This one looks like, as the PlayStation 4, the DualShock 4, it's just going to have the rechargeable battery. So same thing as their current controller, just going to have the rechargeable battery. Nothing with no AA batteries or anything like that. But it looks good. Yeah. I mean, I am a fan of the adopted haptic feedback of the triggers. I think every controller should have that. I liked Xbox. They did have some feedback with their triggers. I am excited for that. I think going forward, I think a lot of the controllers should have this. So I'm really excited. I mean, with everything going on, and of course, Dan and I, we have been staying home. We are working remote, and I really hope we do want to, from Inner Mom's Basement family, we do want to wish everyone to stay home. Please stay safe and stay healthy. But with everything going on, hopefully this is a good sign that the consoles are on the way and there will be no more delays. So, you know, here's hoping that we get Xbox Thanksgiving, as they say, and PlayStation as well at the end of the year.
Yeah, can't wait, man. I'll be picking up both when the time comes.
Yeah, it's gonna be really exciting. Of course, we still have the Switch, which is, you know, of course, system.
Which I need to get Joy-Cons. Well. I should have sent back my Joy-Cons when they were fixing the drifting. I should have sent them back during that time.
really quickly, Dan, do you want to run down the games of April? We could skip over Resident Evil because we already just touched on that. But what are the final couple games we have for the games of April?
Games of April. So upcoming April 10th, Final Fantasy. Super excited. Well, I know a lot of people are super excited for that. Then we got the Predator Hunting Grounds, April 24th, and then Minecraft Dungeons, April 30th.
The one game I am really interested in is Predator Hunting Grounds. Now, that's also a 4v1, and you play as a Predator, but it's only exclusive for PlayStation 4. That's something I'm really, really interested in, so I'm really excited for that one. And to see how that game, how that plays out. Because, you know, the playing as a Predator, man, that's, hopefully that's exciting. My goodness, the gameplay is really good, though.
Yeah, I haven't looked too much into it. The only thing I know from that list is a Final Fantasy. A lot of people looking forward to that Final Fantasy. It, you know, has the year exclusive on PlayStation, and then it'll be on Xbox. And I know somebody who bought a PlayStation for the game, but if I decide to play it, I'll either wait until next year or next gen. I mean, no rush for me. I heard the combat was fucking sick, though. So
yeah, a lot of the reviews I've read as well. I'm not a huge Final Fantasy fan, but a lot of the reviews are saying the combat is amazing. And I mean, I know you know what? This is probably the only Final Fantasy I have played. It's definitely, you know, I'm not a big JRPG guy, but I will not say I didn't enjoy this game, but I didn't enjoy it enough to get into the genre. You know, if that makes sense, Dan. But it was a lot of fun on PlayStation 1, but I just didn't enjoy it enough. But I could see we do have a lot of friends that are excited for this game, and I know they'll be glued to their television and their PlayStations. And this, again, of course, a good time for this game to come out. We are quarantined, so definitely going to be a lot of people are going to be putting in a lot of man hours into this game.
Oh, yeah, I already know quite a few of them. Quite a few of those people are going to be putting a lot of hours into that game.
So really quickly, before we bring in our guest in, just kind of want to talk about some side stuff. Dan, what's been, you know, how are things? You know, what have you been gaming on? We're going to keep it games, of course. what have you been gaming on during this quarantine?
Well, I just got my new PC, so I've been rolling on my new PC. Got a nice GeForce 2080 set up. So I've been playing a lot of Warzone. You know, even got back into some Overwatch, a little bit of Apex and PUBG. You know, a little bit of old roots, some new roots, and a lot of Warzone. Too much Warzone. Unhealthy amount of Warzone, if you ask me. And I've been setting up the computer to go back to streaming, so hopefully the streams will be back up soon. And they're almost ready to go, so just too much of that. I'm thinking about bringing back some Outer Worlds. I have to start over, because I'm starting to play on PC again. I kind of don't want to go back onto console.
And we saw, and you heard the audience clapping for you about your new PC and return to streaming and everything like that. We've been holding down the fort. But Dan and I, when Dan was full-time streaming and I was full-time streaming, we kind of split everything. So once Dan is back streaming, we'll get a stream schedule going and, you know, we'll kind of go from there. So I'm very excited to get things. Well, things are normal. Things have been normal. So I won't even say things haven't been normal. Things have been relatively very, very normal.
Yeah, let's hear what have you been playing recently.
So I mean, I gotta get back. I gotta get on my backlog. So Resident Evil 3, as you heard in the review earlier, I finished, and then of course, I gotta get through my backlog. I have Horizon Zero Dawn. I gotta jump into, but you know, Animal Crossing has just been, my God. We always joke, Dan, and we've always joked with our friends, what game is gonna take us off Rainbow Six Siege, and who the hell would have guessed that Animal Crossing has taken me off Rainbow Six Siege?
I forgot about Animal Crossing. I'm playing a lot of Animal Crossing, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I still do play Siege, don't get me wrong, but I don't have the desire as much as I do anymore because I'm playing, you know, I want to play Animal Crossing. I want to dig up some fossils and this freaking, you know, this egg bunny.
Turnip prices.
Freaking turnip prices and this bunny day crap. I want to get the. I hate Bunny Day, by the way. I can't wait till this freaking bunny.
I hate those goddamn eggs,
oh,
man.
Oh, my God. Fun. Bunny Day sucks. But, like, other than that, definitely got to get on my backlog. Shenmue 3, I got to finish and Control. But this freaking, you know, Animal Crossing, man, and catching more fish and more bugs and all this other stuff. So, what are you going to do?
Nothing.
Yeah, but.
It's a good thing we're in quarantine.
Yeah, but I mean, what a perfect game. You know what's crazy? What a perfect game to come out while we're in quarantine, because Animal Crossing, even people like some of my personal friends that have never gotten a video game console since the PlayStation 2 went out and bought a Switch to get Animal Crossing. You know, for the sheer fact that, you know, A, we're quarantined, and B, I mean, Animal Crossing is a good game, and I mean, it is a relaxing game. I mean, there's really nothing to it. There's nothing really to stress over unless you catch a fucking sea bass. That's very stressful. You know, you're working hard trying to catch some good damn fish and you catch a fucking sea bass. That's absolutely terrible. But, you know, it's a lighthearted game, you know?
I can see you getting mad at Animal Crossing a lot. I can see you getting mad.
I get mad at catching sea bass. That's what I get mad at, because a medium-sized fish comes along, you think it's going to be a valuable fish, but instead it's a typical sea bass. So that is why I get mad. That's why I get mad.
Yeah, I came missing the goddamn turnip lady. I didn't know she left at 12 o'clock.
Yes, I'm pissed too, dude. I fucking missed her this past Sunday as well. I logged on Sunday. It's 12:30. I'm looking around. I'm like, where's this freaking turnip lady? And my friend texts me, oh, before 12. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I just found that out, and I was like, damn. So I gotta make sure I set up an alarm so I can buy, like, I don't know, like 400,000 in turnips.
And get, like, and then sell them for, like, 500 a turnip. Yeah, that's the goal.
I'm in a couple of groups that will let you know when the prices are the highest.
Yeah, yeah, same here.
So I'm looking for that 700+.
Yeah, me too, dude. I need to pay off this freaking Tom Nook. I'm tired of being his lackey already.
Yeah, there's just one guy that will give you a million bells if you tell him if it's 700 or higher.
Oh, my God.
So I'm trying to look for that day. Look him up.
Oh,
another thing is we're also getting some new images made soon for the stream. Of course, you don't know what it is. I know what it is.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I always listen. I always like your surprises. There are times I surprise you. But you know, we're full of surprises. You know, I surprise you with things, you surprise me. It's okay. But did you? Somebody's that was what it was. Somebody's knocking on our door. That means our guest is due to arrive. So guys, we will be right back, and we will bring our guest in. All right, guys, we are back here on In Our Mom's Basement. And if you're just joining us, I am Rage Quit Pat. That is Dan the Pizza Man. Now, let's introduce our guest of honor. She is a live horror content creator who is partnered on Mixer. She has been collecting horror items for over 20 years, and she enjoys playing video games with her family. So let's please give a nice big In Our Mom's Basement welcome to Reanimate Her.
Hi, how is everyone?
How are you, Reanimate Her? Welcome to the Man Cave. How are you?
I'm doing great. I can't complain.
And how are things going on with everything? What games have you been playing right now with this quarantine life?
Well, we just dived into Days Gone. Doing some Left 4 Dead 2, Zombie Army 4, and some Dead by Daylight.
And really quickly, what are your thoughts on Days Gone? I have played it. I did enjoy it. What are your thoughts so far? Because I believe it was a couple days ago that was your first playthrough, right?
Yeah, and I only just started, and I'm loving the game. These survival zombie games are right up my alley. I love State of Decay and State of Decay 2, so I really enjoy Days Gone. I'm only up to the part where I found the Mountaineers and people are trying to invade our place.
Have you encountered any hordes yet?
Not yet. I actually seen one in one cutscene, and I was like, OMG.
Yeah, no. recommendation, definitely make sure you have plenty of Molotovs and grenades, and you'll once you progress in the game, you'll be able to customize more things, but make sure you have a lot of weaponry to deal with those hordes, because they are not the funnest and they are not the easiest to get away from.
No, I seen a giant one. I was like, oh my god, I am not battling that, and I started running the other way. I was like, nope.
Yeah, no. I don't blame you. The first time I encountered a horde was at nighttime, and I went into a cave. Actually, not at nighttime. I'm sorry, the daytime. I went into a cave because they said there was like a lockbox in there. And come to my surprise, I go into my motorcycle, my light shines, and there's a horde. And they just tear me apart right off my motorcycle. I couldn't. Oh. There stood no chance.
At least it's not permadeath.
No.
All right, so you're most likely going to be bombarded with a lot of questions, so I hope you are ready.
I'm ready as I can.
All right, so the first question we have for you is, when did you start streaming, and did you start on Mixer, or were you on Twitch first?
I started on Twitch, and I have been streaming for 3 years on Mixer, but I started out on Twitch in, October, November of 2016, and then I made an account on Beam in December of 2016 and started streaming on Beam February 14th, 2017. And the only reason why I did that was because I was part of the Alpha Insider program with Xbox, and they were just starting the integration of Beam into the dashboard. So I was able to test it firsthand before the public. Fell in love with Beam, and here we are, 3 years later.
What was the big kind of? And I know we're part of a great community, aka the Horde. What would kind of say your big differences from Twitch and Mixer are as far as the? Let's kind of start with the Twitch community. How was your interaction with the Twitch community?
It wasn't the greatest. When I decided I wanted to try streaming, I have gone around into a couple of people's channels that I was already an established viewer, I guess you can call it, established member of their community. And I asked about streaming. I didn't say, oh, I want to stream. I just asked, how do you get into it? I was reprimanded and then blocked because I asked the simple question of how do you get into it? Because I had no idea where to start. There was no books. There was no how-to guide. And there was really nothing on Google in 2016 on how to get started. And I had that happen in a couple of streams that I was a part of. And then I was like, okay, whatever. And I just learned on my own, going through things on my own. And I don't want to, the platform is okay. I mean, it's got its perks and it's got its cons, right? Just like every other platform.
No, yeah, I understand. Because when I started, I tried to start streaming originally way back when Titanfall came out, and I was on the same page. I, you know, try to be friendly in communities, and no matter where, what channel I came in, I tried to be friendly. And I'll try to create a friendship. No one really wanted that. So it was always, you know, go, get out of here, you know, banned. No, it wasn't always like the most pleasant experience. I was like, oh, all right, well, I see where my friendship is.
Oh, yeah, I agree. The big differences for me, I love Batty's question there. The big differences for me is I came on to Beam as someone who had really no idea about streaming natively from the Xbox One. And I received so much help from people all over Beam. I walked into a partnered stream. His name was Rocket Bear. And that was one of my very first streams here on Beam besides Cranky. And I was talking to Rocket Bear. He asked me a couple of questions and I answered back, and I was asking about streaming, and he welcomed me. It was like arms wide open and information, all the information. And then my very first stream, which was on Valentine's Day of 2017, he rated me.
Oh, wow. You
talk about overwhelmed, being rated by a Beam partner at the time and someone that I looked up to in as a streamer. And here he is rating me. I had my first rate. I was like, oh, my God. What was this?
Oh, I know who Rocket Bear is. He's a cool dude, man. I watched him a lot playing Destiny. Such a cool dude.
He is such a great guy.
It seems like, and we actually just returned to Mixer. We were on Twitch for a little while ourselves, and we returned to Mixer. And it just seems like the community is like night and day between Twitch and Mixer. You know, don't get me wrong, we've met some really cool people on Twitch, and we're still friends with them today. But it just seems like the Mixer community is a lot more welcoming and more friendlier. And, you know, don't get me wrong, we've, you know, you encounter your fair share of trolls here and there. But it definitely seems a lot more welcoming and a lot more friendlier, and I definitely have made a lot more friends so far on our return to Mixer than I have Dan, we were on Twitch for like a year last year, right? We were there pretty much the whole year.
Yeah, we were there for, a little over a year, actually.
But yeah, the differences I see is that, to me, Mixer is, it's more than just a platform, it's community. That was the first thing that really caught my eye when it was Beam. Was that this is community. It's not just a streaming platform. Anyone that I met on here on Beam at that time was very welcoming, answered my questions. I wasn't banned in people's streams for asking simple questions. You know, no self-promotion, just basic questions on how to get started, like where would you go? And it was really nice, and it was a breath of fresh air from going from Twitch to Beam at that time. And then even as Beam went over into Mixer, it's still about the community. That's the big differences that I see. And I have tons of friends on Twitch that I hang out with over there. I don't believe in platform wars. We all have our pros and cons. Yeah. And that was the big differences for me. I don't feel that Twitch is very community oriented. I mean, people have their communities, yes, but you can't just walk into a stream and ask some questions and not get your head bitten off. Maybe it's just the wrong people I was going into. Who knows?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then like I said in your Discord one day, every time I'm chatting in the Horde, I'm like, damn, I want to turn on a horror movie. I just don't know why. Every time I'm chatting, I'm like, I want to watch like the. So I will tell you a true funny story. So I was in your Discord. We were chatting, and I just turned on Friday the 13th, and I was watching your stream too. and I saw the Jason mask in the back, and I was like, yeah, I'm watching Friday the 13th. I had no choice. And then there's the Michael Myers, and another. Then I turned on Halloween. Then I got in the mood to watch Halloween because of the Michael Myers mask that is behind you. I'm like, now I'm going to watch Halloween. And it was even, I even turned on, which one did I watch? I watched H2O. That's the one I turned on. But you are a huge horror fan. We are huge horror fans. We want to take it back, little throwback here. What got you into horror when you were, before you were claiming souls and collecting them? What got you into horror? Was it gaming? Was it a movie? What got you into the horror genre? Because for me, the horror genre is one of my favorites, and the horror community is one of my favorite communities because there's just so much to talk about. Everyone is very welcoming. I love hearing everyone else's opinions. What got you into the horror genre?
The movie Friday the 13th. I was about 5 years old, and my aunts, who were just a little bit older, well, not a little bit, but in their teens watching me, were watching that movie on television. And they ran out of the room scared, and I sat there just watching it. I think that brought my love for horror. As I got older, I was looking into older horror movies, and I grew up watching Elvira, Vampira, Billy Billy. I'm just trying to think of some of the other horror hosts. Vincent Price was a really big influence in my life growing up. We would get a lot of his reruns on TV.
Those are some names you don't really hear often.
No, well, I'm also a lot older than most. So, I grew up watching live Elvira stuff. So Elvira wasn't a repeat for me. I was old enough to be watching her live at night. And, that really grew my passion there.
I gotta say, I'm more of a Freddy Krueger man.
Yeah, Freddy's good.
Papa, who's yours?
It's definitely Jason. That to kind of piggyback off what Reanimator said. I was 3, and I was watching Friday the 13th. I think it was part 7, and that kind of got me. Like actually, it wasn't even the sleeping bag kill that got me into it. It was when the guy was walking with the wood blocks, and Jason just comes up behind him and sticks his hand through his back and like snaps his neck. And I was like, kind of hooked from there. And then I started watching like Hellraiser and Freddy and like all those 80 horror movies. Like,
yeah.
It's a the gore, I don't know what it was. The gore just kind of like seeing
it's
the cool.
The gore.
Yeah, the
practical effects.
Yes, there we go. Thank you. The practical effects were amazing. Now, I wish they would stop doing that. I wish they would start doing that more because some of these horror movies with their crappy CGI, it just doesn't work. I don't know, Dan or Reanimator, did you guys see the thing, the 2011 thing?
Yes.
So. Comparing the 2011 thing, they used a lot more CGI comparing it to the 1980.
That's why I didn't see it.
Yeah, the 1982 version had those amazing practical effects. And, of course, that amazing kill where the guy's using the defibrillator and the guy's chest opens up. But the 2011 thing, they used a lot more CGI and it just, ugh.
I'll tell you one of my all-time favorite movies I have to watch every year. All right, it's Trick or Treat. You guys watch that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The first kill is probably one of the best kills in that movie.
Yep, Sam from Trick or Treat.
The best movie every year. I have to watch that.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Definitely a good one. And you started watching Friday the 13th Part 7, which is the new Bloodline that came out in 88. That's the first time we've seen Kane Hodder jump on as Jason Voorhees.
Yeah, he's a legend. And I heard he's a really nice guy in real life. Have you met any of the, like, Robert Englunds or the Kane Hodders or anything like that?
I go to a lot of horror cons, and I try to go to some comic cons when I know there's going to be horror celebrities there. Robert Englund, I have not met, but I have met most of the actors that play Jason Voorhees. I've met Michael Myers, and this is his real name, Dick Warlock.
Yeah, I've heard his name, yes.
Yep, he played Michael in the second Halloween. not the 2018, but the original, you know, you got your first one and then the second one. I met Cassandra Peterson, who is Elvira. I've met a lot of people. Bruce Campbell.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. He's awesome too. Like, they're really, I find people in the horror genre, actors, celebrities, are very down to earth. They know it's their fans that make them, and I think that's why they're so friendly. I've met Linda Blair. I have met so many of them, and they just sit there. They'll talk to you. They're not gouging you for
give me $20
with them. Shit, well, I met Linda Blair. You guys know who Linda Blair is? She played Exorcist. She was the little girl in Exorcist.
Oh my god! Yeah, okay.
Other movies, like many other movies.
Oh my god!
She's a big celebrity. She charged $5 for a picture.
Oh wow!
A signature and to sit and chat with her. I've met Kane Hodder numerous times. Cassandra Peterson was only $10 to meet her and have a signature, chat with her. Yeah, they seem to be more down to earth than other celebrities. I've met other people in Comic Cons, and some of them are real arrogant, and they're like, basically, they look down upon you, like you owe them something. Meanwhile, it's your money that paid for their ticket to pay for their wages as a celebrity.
A lot of celebrities are like that. It's kind of baffling.
Damn, what are we doing? We got to start going to more horror conventions. Have you met Heather Langenkamp by any chance?
No.
No.
I want to meet her. She is going to a couple of horror cons, but ours recently here in my country, well, my province, was pushed back to October. So I don't even know who the guests are going to be, if they're even able to re-sign the guests that they were going to have. I would love to meet Heather.
Yeah,
Robert Englund was here in October.
Oh, that's awesome.
But I couldn't get there. I wasn't able to get there.
Out of like the final girls that I want to meet, it's Heather Langenkamp and Neve Campbell for some reason, like out of all the final, and of course,
really,
Scream. Yeah, from Scream. Yeah, I was such a huge fan of Neve Campbell, and except for Scream 3, I mean, that one we could skip over, but and then another, of course, what's her name from, I can't believe I'm screwing her name up, from Halloween,
Laurie Strode,
yes,
yeah,
mm-hmm. Of course, her, she, you know, legendary, but Heather Langenkamp was always my like childhood crush as far as horror. Like, she was so pretty in Nightmare on Elm Street, and I just had like a huge like teenage or young boy crush on her, and I was happy that she lived.
And her name is Jamie Lee Curtis.
Jamie Lee, messing that? She's been in so many other legendary films. How did I forget her name? Just type F in the chat.
It's all good. I have those days where I can't think of some names. It's all good.
Oh my gosh. But what about gaming wise? You know, of course there's a lot of great movies. What about gaming?
For gaming, one of my favorite games to play, which I don't really play much on stream anymore, is the game Friday the 13th. That's one of my favorite games. Left 4 Dead 2, I'm bringing back into the stream, so we're starting to play that some more. It was Dead. I also enjoy Dead by Daylight, but lately, since everyone's been home from school, I really dislike all the children that are playing, so it's ruined it for me, and I just stopped playing it altogether now. It just ruins all the fun. But yeah, no, those are the ones that I really like to play. Borderlands 3 off stream.
Those damn kids. Friday the 13th was a lot of fun. We've played it here. We'll play it from time to time too. But I wish that legal incident never happened, because when I played the single player portion and they showed Uber Jason, I was like, oh my god, I can't wait. Jason X is in here. And then we got that last, I believe, what was it, the Jason from Friday the 13th Part 5, that was the last one they put in before everything kind of went to shit.
Well, yeah, that lawsuit was going on for a very long time. It's actually the second lawsuit the franchise has ever seen. The very first one, Victor Miller and Sean Cunningham settled outside of court, and then it went back in about, if I think 2015, 2016, it went back to court because Victor wanted more or something like that. And then Victor Miller won it in, 2019, he won it. And Sean Cunningham and Horror Inc. decided to appeal it. So, and it's still going on. And unfortunately, Gun Media wasn't going to sit around and wait for a lawsuit to finish up because those can go on forever.
Damn. It's unfortunate.
Have you had any interest in playing GTFO?
Yeah, I actually have the game. Me and Dillinger Banks and Cataly, we got together and did some playing on it. It's definitely not an easy game. And for someone like me, I would have to play it off stream to get used to it. But it seemed like it was a fun game. It was dark. It had the creepy atmosphere. It definitely has a great look as well.
Yeah, it looks a lot of fun. I haven't actually got to play it yet, but with your feedback, I do want to play it.
Oh, I would definitely look into it. It's I enjoyed the little bit of time that I played in it. I'm looking to play some more. It's not easy. It's definitely challenging. That's one thing I noticed. It's definitely a challenging game, but I don't think it's too of a challenge. I think once you get used to the controls, the keyboard, and that aspect, and then you understand the maps a little bit better, I think it would be easier as you go along. And a good team, right?
Yeah. I saw you played Left 4 Dead. You played World War Z. Have you got into that?
I played World War Z. It's a good game. You need a good team.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed playing that.
100%.
You need a really good team. And you need people who know how to play FPS zombie games like that. It's not just a run and gun. It's not VR. You really have to have a strategy, especially if you're playing it on more than just easy. I don't like playing them on easy. I'd rather play on hard.
I beat it super quick on hard. Oh, man, I was so sad. I wish they released more to story.
Yeah, and now that it's on, you have more people playing it since it came to Game Pass.
Yeah, and it's crossplay too.
Yeah, that's really cool. I haven't touched the game in a while, to be honest. I haven't
touched
it.
And they added a horde mode as well. Yeah, I do want to try that.
I don't know.
There's just so many games, not enough time, I tell you.
Right? No,
not enough time.
Even with
this quarantine and everyone being home, there's not enough time.
I don't know if you heard my like quick bit on Resident Evil Resistance, but kind of the same thing that you do need a really good team to survive in that 4v1 atmosphere in that game.
Yeah.
Have you picked up RE3? I know we've chatted about it a couple times in your stream.
Yeah, I haven't. I have yet to touch it. I pre-ordered it a while back, so I think I installed it as well. I haven't touched it yet. I will wait till all of the hype kind of wears down, and then I'll jump on in.
Yeah, you'll definitely have a lot of fun with it. I finished it yesterday. You know, you'll definitely have a lot of fun with it. It definitely is a fun game. Did you play part two? If you definitely,
yep.
Yeah. I mean, the one like actually, I won't even say anything. Enjoy it. That's I'm not even gonna say.
I heard it was challenging. I heard it was challenging, but a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to the game. I enjoyed RE3. I mean, RE2, the remake. I like the Resident Evil series so far. My favorite out of the whole franchise would be, Biohazard number 7.
Yeah. That one definitely revived the series.
That was awesome.
Yeah. That one, the series was definitely looking grim until that one came out, and thank God that they went back to their roots, because Capcom definitely fixed Resident Evil, because if that game didn't succeed, I highly doubt we'd get these remakes that we got these past 2 years.
Yeah.
And now Capcom's looking to come out with more potential remakes, and potentially, I don't know if you saw the news, but there's a rumor Resident Evil 8 is rumored to be next year.
I heard about them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like Capcom. I enjoyed the Dead Rising. Like Dead Rising 3 was one of my favorites out of the franchise, and it's another Capcom game.
Yep.
I really love that. It's the only reason why, one of the reasons why, the main reason why I should say that I bought an Xbox One in the first place over a PlayStation 4.
Yeah, Dead Rising definitely is an underrated series. Part 1 and 2 had a lot of hiccups, but Part 3 definitely was the perfect one.
Part 3 is the best one.
Hands
down, Nick is awesome. Yeah. The whole...
The cameos are cool. The cameos are
everything
cool.
Everything is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on four? Yeah. What were your thoughts on four?
It was all right. I like the fact that they brought Frank West back, but I didn't. The vehicles sucked. I didn't like the vehicles. Where was my hog with the whole like teeth on the front and flamethrowers? Because I want to be burning things. I just want to be taking them all out.
It didn't feel like Dead Rising either. I don't know who in the community complains so much about the timer. You know, you just have to kind of get used to the timer. I don't know why they got rid of it in part four.
There was enough. Yeah, I don't know. There was enough time. I finished Dead Rising 3 five times, and just to get a better score at the end. It's not that hard.
Yeah,
the first playthrough, for someone who didn't know how to play, you know, I just got an Xbox. That was my Xbox One was my very first Xbox anything. My Spawn had an Xbox 360, but I never touched it. So my Xbox One was the first thing I've ever played with an Xbox controller. And Dead Rising 3, I was able to finish it with enough time to spare. So I don't know why people were complaining.
Yeah, it was going back from like the first game. The community was like, oh my god, it's the timer's.
So the first one wasn't that overly bad.
No, I just think some people are just bitches.
They cater to the wrong community
members.
Some
people are just
most games do
some
that.
Bitches. And this is 18+, so you know if you want to curse, you can go ahead. But
yes.
I just wanted to throw it out there. This is 18+, so you can go ahead and curse away. you know, the problem is, and you know, do you feel that some games are a little too easy nowadays because they're catering to the casual audience a little bit more? Like some survival horror games have taken a step back and have felt a little bit easier than, you know, what we have been used to playing when we were kids.
Oh yeah, I think it's they cater to the wrong community members. They cater to the ones that cry a lot. I don't really like pay to win games either. Like you buy all these little things and then you never have to actually dedicate time to playing. All you got to do is spend some money and boom, you got everything that you need. I think that takes the whole fun out of it.
Yeah, no, that's we're also highly against pay to win. You know, we're big sports gamers here as well, and it's just ruined everything with the pay to win and everything like that. And you know, obviously, you know, we talk about a lot. Star Wars Battlefront is like, if you're gonna pick a game that was pay to win,
that's the number one talking point right there.
That's like top, like the top right there. But it's
yeah.
But I mean, so you mentioned this was the first. Dead Rising 3 got you an Xbox One. Was that the first system you particularly got into, or before that you were kind of a casual gamer here and there? Like, how was
I was always a pretty hardcore gamer. I started out in 1985 with the very first Nintendo. That was my very first console. I've played the Atari and the ColecoVision. My very first console was a NES, and me and my sister would play that like no tomorrow. And we'd leave our NES on, but turn our TV off so our mother wouldn't get mad at us for leaving the TV on, because she didn't realize that there was no saves. You can't save.
Yeah.
So he's like, damn it, you gotta go to bed, but mom. And she's like, I don't care, get to bed, you got school. And it's like, we just got so far, I am not turning this off. So me and my sister would have secret little pack that we wouldn't turn off, but we would push the TV button in to turn off the TV. And back then you have a push button. There was no remote, not to my TV at least. And I started out after that was PC gaming, and then also PlayStation. So I owned a PlayStation and PC. I own every PlayStation that there is currently. And then my very first Xbox was an Xbox One. We bought the Spawn a 360 for her, one of her birthdays.
So we got our first question in the chat from Batty Page. Who is your favorite final girl and why?
Oh, crap. Oh, there's so many. Oh, my God. That's a hard question, Batty. I don't know. I mean, there's Ellen Ripley from Alien.
Ooh, badass right there.
She just shows balls, man.
Yeah, Ellen Ripley's is one badass, man.
Oh, she definitely is. And then you got Laurie Strode, Jamie Lee Curtis. I couldn't tell you which one's my favorite one. I can tell you my least favorite one was Jenny Fields from Friday the 13th Part 2. But
is that the chick with the blonde hair? That one?
Yes, not Alice, who died in the beginning of the second one. Ginny was the strawberry blonde hair that was dating a guy named Paul.
Oh,
who never knew what happened to Paul.
Paul!
I'm going to have to choose Ellen Ripley, the Gorny Weaver, because she's such a badass. She went with all the odds. And I know Alien isn't full-on a horror movie, but... It's a horror sci-fi for me, and she is the final girl. She just kicked ass. Her attitude, everything. She was looked down upon at first when she got onto the crew. Next thing you know, she's kicking ass and taking names, and everyone's like, "Oh my god, where did this come from?" She's just a badass chick.
And the sequel too. I loved her in the sequel as well. She definitely solidified her badass in the in Aliens. I love that
one. Oh yeah.
We could just skip part 3 and. Alien Resurrection. I think those ones could just be buried somewhere.
Trash. Yeah, yeah. Those away.
Yeah, no, definitely.
All right, so you stream Hunt a Killer, which is the mystery box, if I remember correctly, from what Pat told me, which is pretty cool because I was actually looking into that to buy a subscription for my mom since she actually is into that kind of stuff. You want to tell us about that? How that works?
Yeah, Hunt a Killer is a subscription box service that comes to your door. You play an investigator. Now, you can do it with your friends or family or by yourself. You don't need to do it with anybody at all. They send you episode. They go by episode, so they'll start off with sending you episode 1 and 2. And you have different things that you have to do in episode 1. You have to find the murder weapon. And then once you do that, you email... Julia Adler. Well, the one that we were on is Julia Adler. We have to email Julia, and then she'd get back to us whether or not that was the right weapon. Then you have to find out, take a suspect off the list. They give you a lot of good stuff in a box. It's a really good quality made box. The evidence that are in it, it looks real. You can go through to the website. So they give you a couple different places just in case if you do get stuck. They give you an online website that goes with Michelle Gray Investigations, which is the company. And Julia Adler hired Michelle Gray's. And Michelle Gray's is technically hiring us, as well, whoever buys the box, to work with Julia Adler and hunting the killer. They give you case files, evidence. Lots of puzzles. We had a lot of fun deciphering some puzzles. There was a keypad cipher that we hated every moment of it. But once we figured it out, it was a bit easier to do. Right now we are on episode 5 and 6, but I haven't received them yet. You are interested in it, if you use my name, you get 20% off your first box.
All right. How long does it take usually to do an episode or two?
Well, since I have so many awesome investigators in the stream, we usually finish one episode most of the time in a day, day and a half, because I also have it in my Discord. So we go over all the information live on stream. We'll go over everything. We'll talk about it. We'll put it in the Discord. And usually... I give everybody a week to talk about what we want, but most of the time it takes about a day and a half to get what we want to scratch off the list or find the murder weapon. We found the murder weapon real fast.
And you got people working around the clock. I like that.
Oh yeah, we had a lot of fun. We would go right into Discord and we would have an evidence room where I upload all the evidence so we can go over it. And we have a chat area in the Discord and we sit there and we chat about what we think may be. And we all work together. And that I think was a lot of fun for everybody in the horde as well, because those that actually like true crime and like these murder mysteries were able to join in and feel like they were part of an investigation and we were solving an 80-year-old cold case file. So I thought that was kind of fun.
Sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, I suck at mystery, but
I definitely want to pick up a box. I'm the only one doing it on Mixer for a while, and now other people are starting to do it.
I haven't seen many people do it.
You're the first person
I was only person streaming it on Mixer.
I noticed that you were the first person. That's how I was like, Hunt the Killer, what is this? And I popped in and you were just talking about, all right, guys, we're going to be doing this and this. And I'm like, oh, wow, this is a really cool interactive way to get the community involved. It's really, really cool and really interesting. And then I caught another partner. I'm not going to name any names or anything, but I caught another partner getting into it now. Not as frequently as you do it, but periodically I saw them doing it.
Oh, there's a few people now doing Hunt a Killer. I think it's cool. It brings awareness to a really cool game that, you know, not many people would have heard that were not, you know, into the horror or true crime, right?
Absolutely. And we got a couple questions in the chat. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Regal, because she asked this for everybody. If you were buried alive, what one item would you bring to the grave? So let's see. I'm going to have to think about that if one of you guys have an idea of what you would bring to the grave.
Chocolate.
You say there's chocolate?
No chocolate!
That's hard, because you bring your phone or Switch, I mean, it's going to die super quick. And are you going to get service down there? Oh, man.
And if you're being buried alive, I doubt you're going to be able to have time to eat it, but at least I'm dying with it.
Right?
Anything else, it would be hard.
I guess my favorite pop, my gold Stanley pop is coming with me.
There you go. If you're going to get buried alive. But I mean, what are the stipulations of being buried alive? Are you being buried alive in a coffin, or is your body being dumped in a shallow grave and the dirt's going on top of you? See, there's differences in that. If you were buried alive in a coffin, you would have movement and some oxygen.
A shovel. That's smart. I mean, it depends on how it's being shoveled.
Well, see, hold up. If you are being buried alive, I doubt that the person who's burying you is going to allow you to have a shovel. And second, if they're burying you, you can always use your hands to try to get and dig yourself out.
A battery jackhammer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But again, with circumstances, like how are they burying you? Who's burying you? Is Regal burying me for fun? If she's burying me for fun, then give me a straw. I need to breathe.
I'll assume that I'm in a coffin, so I'll bring a Reese's peanut butter cup, and at least I'll go down with my favorite candy.
Well, if you're in a coffin, you can kick your way out and kind of get yourself up. Depending on how deep, again, it really depends on what's being done and who's doing it.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that movie Buried Alive with Ryan Reynolds?
Yep.
Yeah.
It was a good movie.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It's a scary thought, because that used to happen back in the day. That's why they had bells. If you ever notice, if go into old cemeteries from like the 1800s, they would have bells on the tomb, like by the tombstones. And that's because numerous people have found to be buried alive. So what they do is, to make sure they didn't know technology with medical field, they had no idea what the hell was going on. They would bury the people, but then they would tie a bell, a piece of string around their arm or hand, and it would be up on the outside of the dirt so that if someone started to move or on their toe, the bell would ring and the attendant over there at the graveyard would hear it and they would dig that person up. So that's why you get ringing the dead, because when they buried people back then in the 1800s, sometimes people came back to life because they technically weren't dead.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. I never knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Another question here. Batty Page has one. Who is your favorite serial killer and why?
Ted Bundy. And if they would have just listened to that man, we could have found out so much more. I mean, I have my list of favorites, but Ted Bundy, by far, I feel, was the craziest and the smartest all at the same time. And I think we did wrong by putting him to death. I mean, what he did was wrong. I'm not saying what he did was right or condone it in any way, but we could have learned so much from that man, even if we would just, you know, do MRIs, brain scans and stuff like that. He, before him, we didn't have an FBI behavioral unit. We didn't have the medical, the technology, the forensic technology that we have now. He actually helped give insight to other serial killers and other crimes that were going on. And I think he was, I think his body count is fluffed. I do not believe he's murdered that many women, but you know, it is what it is.
He's a good looking guy.
Not even just good looking. He's fascinating. The way he can look at, in a courtroom, and then the way he acts, his whole demeanor, everything. And there hasn't been a serial killer since that's been like him. I mean, you've got the Son of Sam and all of that, but they were different types. They were different. Son of Sam told him that his neighbor's dog was talking to him and stuff like that. I haven't seen, and Ed Gein, another really cool, well, that's I'm not going to say cool, but he was a cannibal. I like cannibals. Ed Gein was another one on my list that I really like learning about. I mean, I'm not saying he was awesome. I'm not saying I condone him skinning women and, you know, eating and making lampshades out of them. But what he did and how he did it and the way he perceived things, I think it's really interesting how they perceive something from someone like me. How they see life and what they see. I think that's what really makes people interested in serial killers is their thought process.
Yeah. We had a, there was a couple, I don't know, I got into, a couple weeks ago, I got into, like, mobsters and just hearing, like, their crazy stories and stuff like that, too, but I do agree.
Yeah, they're gangsters.
I don't know if you've ever watched I Am a Killer on Netflix, but I watched, like, a couple episodes of that, and it was really interesting to kind of hear the minds of people who are on death row and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy to see how long people are on death row for, 12, 20 years. And it's like, well, that's got to be fun. What? You got the death penalty. How come I'm not dying yet?
What would be your death row meal, your final meal? This is for all of us. And chat, you could chime in as well. What would be your final death row meal?
Oh, since I'm dying, I want bread. I want bread. I want brown gravy, steak, lobster, coconut shrimp.
Oh, my.
I can't have bread, and I miss bread. So I would eat all the bread. I don't care what kind of bread, French bread, Italian bread, toast, anything. That I'd eat lots of it since I'm going to die that day anyways. Might as well go out with a bang.
Enjoy a nice – that's a good one. That's a really good supper. Dan, what would be yours?
Oh man, a nice steak with some mac and cheese. Woo-hoo!
I'll probably take a full pie of pepperoni pizza.
With pineapples?
What? No pineapples. No, that would be torture. That would be torture at that point. A full pie of pepperoni pizza and a nice medium rare cheeseburger.
I was surprised you didn't say Taco Bell.
No, not for my, not for my death, not before my death.
Chocolate.
But we had another question in the chat. Ra, was there any movie where you were like, "This is too much, too realistic to finish"?
Nope, I'm a gore whore. I love it all. I love blood, guts, and ass all over the place.
What was that?
The gorier it is, the better it is. If I can see someone's intestines being ripped out and played with, I'd be happy. I was told that the Siberian film was very shocking and if so many people were appalled and yada yada, and I watched it, I was like, well, this is nothing fucking new.
What was that?
I thought,
oh, I'm sorry,
Cannibal Holocaust was more of a shock than Siberian film.
What about what's that damn film, Human Centipede?
That's a kind of cool idea though, right? ass to mouth kind of thing, and feed them. That's no. That movie didn't bother me either.
I watched all three.
Yep.
Oh my god.
What I liked Hostel too.
I love Hostel.
Hostel was good, but I remember, all right, maybe I don't know if you guys got the same, you know, people word of mouth. When I first saw Hostel, everybody was like, oh my God, it's so gory, it's so disgusting.
I don't think it was that bad.
No, the only one part that was like
a horror.
Yeah, the only one part that kind of like was like, oh my God, was when he clipped the woman's eye.
The eyeball.
Everybody remembers the eyeballs.
Yeah, and the freaking white stuff comes out and everything. I'm like, but yep. It wasn't like, oh my God, like the part where he slices the guy's feet, like the ankles or whatever it is. Yep. That part kind of left me like, ugh, like damn, that sucks.
Well, yeah, and it kind of gives you like, oh, I'm never traveling to these countries.
Oh no! At the beginning is like, wow, let's go to Amsterdam. Then after that, it's like,
Romania.
Maybe not. Let's not go to Amsterdam.
But you know what? Those things can happen, right? That's what makes that so scary to some people is that that could happen. We know sex trafficking is a thing. Right. So what's stopping people from hunting humans? What's stopping people from buying the best human on the market and doing these horrible things to them? And Batty earlier was asking, what do I have to do to stay so young? I was going to say hostel too. Bathtub. Take a bubble bathtub, man.
I bathe
in the blood of my enemies.
There was another gory movie too. I forget the name of it. Art the Clown. What's the?
Yes, Terrifier.
Terrifier. Love it. That movie was great.
Terrifier
I mean, 2
is coming.
Yes, like the act. I can't wait. The acting is not the greatest, but the kills are what make that movie.
The kills are awesome. What about the girl hanging upside down?
Oh gosh!
Down the center, man.
Holy shit! I was like, damn. Yeah.
He played a great killer clown. Art was a great killer clown. I am so looking forward to Terrifier 2.
Saw. Oh wow, really? So let's talk about Saw. That's an interesting one. Saw, of course, we have the new one coming out with. Well, who knows if it's coming
Samuel
out?
Samuel Jackson and Chris Rock.
Yeah, who knows if
Spiral.
It's Spiral. Yeah, who knows if it's coming out? A lot of movies are getting delayed, so who knows.
It will come out. It's just that, of course, with this whole pandemic, movies are, it's not worth coming out because no one can go to the theater. Okay, yeah, they got it on VOD that you can rent, but I'm not going to rent no damn movie. If I'm going to go, I'm going to buy it. Let me buy it.
Yeah, especially for $20 too. Like, come on.
Well, Candyman is supposed to come out in June, right?
Yes.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because are they going to lose money? Yeah, they're going to lose money.
Yeah.
Well, there might not be even any movie theaters left after this.
Yeah, with the whole there might just be the smaller movie theaters and that AMC rumor that they're going under after this. I mean, who knows? It's just crazy.
Who knows?
But Saw. I mean, I loved it. After part three, when they killed off Tobin Bell. And
I went crazy after that.
Yeah, I just went to go see it just to see what the hell kind of traps they could come up with after that point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They had really creative ideas on traps and...
What's your favorite trap?
Oh.
That's a hard question.
That is a hard question. They have so many good ones. I mean, that razor blade one, trying to escape with the door right there and having to go through that razor blade.
Oh, yeah.
Just thinking about that, like right there, it's teasing you. I do like the reverse bear trap. That's a really cool kill.
That's a classic.
There's lots of them. I enjoy. Have you guys seen The Collector?
Yes.
Yeah.
See those heavy duty bear traps?
Yeah. Mine, I would say, is one of my favorites is The Crack, but that one was tough to watch when the guy's, like, his bones are twisting, like, slowly. Yes. Like, that one's just, like, that one's a tough watch.
Yep. What about the one where he's hanging up and the two big giant cement blocks come down?
Oh, yeah. And crushes
him. And, like, crush him.
Crushes
him. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. There was a lot of good traps in that series. Another one, too, was
the needle one where he puts all the band and falls in the needles.
Oh, man.
The pit of needles.
Yeah, he throws her in the needle pit.
Yeah, I don't like needles.
Yeah, I don't either. That one was a tough one to watch because, I agree with you. I'm not a big fan of needles. And just to see a girl get picked up and just chucked right into the needle pit and just kind of just – you see her, like, grabbing the needles and, like, I couldn't even imagine, like, flinging them just to find the key. Ooh, it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
My gosh.
I don't like needles.
No. A real escape room. Absolutely not. I will not try a real escape room because chances are I probably would die, and I am not looking forward to dying. Dan,
I've done a escape room. I went to Comic-Con in New York, and they had a Saw escape room there. It's the only one I've done, but that was super easy. I want to do a real one.
I would do an escape room.
Why I would not? Too. Those are
they had a,
super
they
fun.
Had a Resident Evil one a couple years back that I regret not doing.
Oh wow.
And over here in New York, they had one, and it was just couldn't find it. Unfortunately, when you're trying to get a group together, you know, it's tough to go on everyone else's time. So, unfortunately, I didn't get to do it.
Yeah, Regal would have loved that. She's a huge Resident Evil fan.
Yeah, I was dying to go. I even thought about cosplaying too.
Oh, I remember because you sent us a link. You're like, yo, let's do this.
I sent you. I was in the group chat, and then of course. You were down. You could do it on weekends. But, of course, there was that one or two people that were like, I can't do it on weekends. I got to do it during the week. Dude, what the frick? Like, how? Oh, my God. But here's a good one here. So we're talking about all positive movies that you like. What horror movie here's a couple of questions here. What was your least favorite horror movie? And what's a horror movie that everyone likes that you don't like?
Oh, everyone else likes and I don't like. That is that's a good question. That's a horrible one. Let me think. There's so many. There's so many bad ones. I got an older one, The Incredible Strange Creatures Who Stopped Living and Became Mixed Up Zombies. That one is from 1964. It was freaking horrible.
Damn, any longer of a title?
any longer of a title. That one stuck with me. I like watching old horror black and whites, the 30s, 40s, and 50s. I enjoy those horror movies, and I have a really big collection of them. That I would have to say, or there's another one that I seen. There was one that I seen recently. It was on Tubi, and I had to shut it off. 20 minutes in, I was like, "What the hell am I doing here? Can't be watching this." I can't think of the name of it right now, but it was horrible. And I don't know of another horror movie that people love. Oh yeah, I mean, I don't really care for Jordan Peele because, Halloween, boom. Halloween 2018.
I was going to mention
2018.
I was going to mention that because we talked about it, but I'd rather you bring that up because I remember we did kind of talk about that a little bit in Discord.
Yeah, I did. I mean, the kills were cool. The homage to the first Halloween was really cool. I don't care for political agenda and pushing someone's political agenda in a horror movie. I like Jordan Peele because his creativeness, but I don't like him because he likes to push a lot of his own political agenda inside his films. I didn't like Get Out. And Halloween 2018, that's a big one. That is a huge one. I seen it opening night with my spawn. I really had high hopes for it, but the kills were okay. There was a couple of really cool ones that where Michael smashes the head in of the doctor with his foot.
That was a cool kill.
That was kind of cool. I do like the homage that they played with Jamie Lee Curtis jumping out of the truck like Donald Pleasance did in the first one, warning people with the gun, get out of the streets, get home, blah, blah, blah. I liked all the homage to one. I enjoyed some of the kills. Other than that, we already have enough strong final ladies in horror. We don't need anything else. We don't need to have a trio of friggin' women and that are strong in horror because we always have the final girl. The final girl always kicked ass. And the fact that they changed it, that Jamie Lee now has a daughter who has a daughter, that pissed me off because I know the timeline and the lore is all sorts of fuckery, but we knew going in that she had a son.
Yeah.
Lori had a son later on. But I know this one's supposed to lead off of right from 1979. And honestly, it didn't make sense if it left off right on 1979.
It just seemed like they turned Laurie Strode into Sarah Connor. That's yes. what, you know, and I like the movie, and
but then again, if you went through what Jamie Lee Curtis did, wouldn't you be kind of like Sarah Connor?
Yeah, so that may okay, so I will so it just I don't know it just felt I felt I liked her more in H2O than I did in the newer one. I felt like H2O, she kind of, you know, when she's leading her son away and she's like, no, I'm going back. And just like that scene where Michael's looking for her and she comes out of nowhere and just is trampling him with the knives and just kicks him off. And I don't know. I liked her a little bit more in H2O because, like, yeah. you felt the fear. Like, I didn't think she feared him in the new one. In H2O, you felt that she still had a fear for her, for Michael, because she knew what he can do. In this one, I just felt like, I'm just going to go kick this fucker's ass and I don't fear him at all.
Was no fear in that.
Yeah, I just felt that I don't know. I still enjoyed it though, but I just felt that she was too much like Sarah Connor.
Yeah, I can see that. Definitely can see that.
And then like her daughter mustered the courage to fight. I haven't picked up a gun in so long. I don't know. I mean, I here's hoping that Halloween Kills, you know, the new one's supposed to come out this year too. So, So you mentioned Jordan Peele. Does that leave you a little bit worried with Candyman? Because he does have his hands in yes. Candyman.
Yes, it does. It leaves me a little worried. Not everything that Jordan does is horrible. I just don't really care for the push of his political agenda and what he thinks should be out there. And that's what turns me off about most of his movies. I'm a huge Tony Todd fan. I love that man. He is a friggin' legend.
He's awesome.
And I will see that movie just because he's in it. If he was not in it, that whole thing can burn to hell.
So I have a question. Was there any actor? Because I was pleasantly surprised, and so was Dan, that Tony Todd is back. Because, you know, and obviously when they do these remakes, they always do a recast with, you know, they recasted Freddy.
Why it sucked.
Oh, you didn't like?
So excited he's back.
Yeah, so
I never even seen it because it wasn't Robert Englund, and it's not Freddy for me.
You're
that
not missing. I mean,
you're in a friggin' suit.
You're not missing much. I mean, the guy who played Freddy was what's his name from Watchmen, but he was pretty decent. But you know, I'm not gonna recommend a new Freddy to you because you're not really missing much.
No, you're not. Don't worry about it.
But who? If you had to pick. Do you think they could have recast a Tony Todd at all? Do you was there an actor? No.
I'm going to agree with you. No, there's no way.
There is nobody that can replace Tony Todd. He has a specific voice that nobody else can compare to.
Yeah, it was
dead on.
Helen.
It's his voice that makes that character Candyman. And I understand that probably from what I've been doing a lot of reading into Candyman, it doesn't look like Tony Todd's going to play a giant role, but it kind of looks like he has a son or something is going on and along those lines, and it's going to pass on to someone, is what I'm getting
I
at.
I hope not.
Of what I'm getting from it all, but maybe not. Maybe it is. Who the frig knows? But, I wouldn't be able to watch a movie, Candyman, called Candyman, if there was no Tony Todd in it.
Yeah, I was really happy they recasted him too, but I was just the thought of, like, you know, every time they do like a horror movie remake, they always usually recast the you know, the actor or the actress that made the character.
Yep.
But and there's a couple, you know, this was supposed to be the year for horror, and like, who knows what's going on? There's supposed to be a new Conjuring that's coming out. You know, Spiral we just talked about. So hopefully this thing
There's
comes
a lot of horror coming out.
Yeah.
April is, I believe, off the top of my head, we have 3 horror movies coming out in April from what I can remember. But yeah, supposed to be the year of horror. We'll see. We'll definitely see. I know Antlers is to be released or going to be released or something like that. That one looks interesting. Very interesting to me.
And then there's the A Quiet Place got a new release date.
Too?
Yeah, it got a new release date. I think it was Dan.
My Place,
November, September, November, one of them.
November.
November. I really like the first one. I'm really excited to see what they do with the second one to kind of learn the origin story of
September. It's like September 4th.
September 4th. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm excited to hear the origin story of these creatures.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I really liked Quiet Place. I cried at a part of it, but I enjoyed Quiet Place.
I want to miss my boy John, though.
He's in it, just on flashbacks.
I'm like, he can't bring back to life. He's not a zombie.
The beginning is what got me hooked on that movie, because I kind of went in that movie kind of blank. I'm like, what is this? We can't make a noise. And then I'm sitting there with Miss Rage Quit, and the little kid turns on the thing. I'm like, oh my God, he's gonna die. And then the little kid just gets killed off. I'm like, holy shit. Like, what a way to start the freaking movie. Like, damn, balls of the wall already.
And that's another thing I didn't like about 2018 Halloween. Michael killed his first child in the franchise. He's always hurt them, but never killed a child. And he kills a child, a 12-year-old boy, in the beginning of the film with the bus, where the bus gets father comes out. I didn't care for that shit either. Don't be making Michael a child killer, you sons of bitches.
Yeah, I remember a lot of these slasher, besides Freddy, like Jason and like Michael Myers.
Technically, Jason's never killed anybody, but technically the one chick was pregnant. She's the one who died in the hammock.
Oh, in part three.
In the Fangoria magazine.
In part three, right? Yes, she was pregnant.
Technically, she was pregnant, but that doesn't count.
Yeah, well, it looks like she, from the way she was shaped, it looks like she just found out. Looks like it might.
Oh, yeah, she was like maybe a day.
Yeah, and that still didn't stop him in the hammock.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, no, that was weird too. I was watching. I'm glad you brought that up. I was watching. I'm like, so Michael's now like choking the shit out of kids, and like, what the fuck? When did this happen?
Yeah, I didn't like that. I understand Freddy, and out of all of them, Freddy was a child murderer. It wasn't until the remake that they make him
a pedophile.
I don't like that either.
Yeah, it was weird. Whatever. It was weird. I think they were trying to make. I've read some stuff on it. They were trying to make it more. I don't know. It was weird to turn him into a fucking pedo and shit like that.
Well, in the original script that Craven did, technically Freddy was a pedophile, but there was this huge case going on when he was going to film this, and he changed it. He didn't want the movie to think, and he didn't want people seeing the movie to think it was going after this child predator, mm-hmm. this pedophile that was doing these things to children. So he changed bits and pieces of Nightmare on Elm Street before it hit the theaters. He changed a couple of pieces of it. He took out the pedophile part, and he was just a child murderer. It wasn't until New Nightmare on Elm Street did this guy bring the fact that he was a pedophile into it.
Okay. The one of the last things really quickly, he's been tied with horror. I'm interested. I know you like his music. Do you like any of Rob Zombie's movies? Halloween, House of a Thousand Corpses,
he's a fucking god.
So, House of a Thousand Corpses is awesome.
So, I love him.
So you like the the Halloween rendition of Rob Zombie?
I liked his take on Halloween because it was gory as fuck. I enjoyed his take on Halloween 1 and 2. I like his new movies. I like his music. I love the way that man thinks. I enjoyed the whole trilogy of House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, and Three from Hell.
Yep.
Devil's Rejects is awesome.
One of my least favorites, I would have to say, is 31 in Salem. I mean, they're cool. I like them, but they're not what I was expecting from a Rob Zombie film. 31 wasn't as gory as it should have, could have been, but I still think he did a really good job.
Yeah, I liked the first Halloween that he did. The second one, I wasn't the hugest fan of it, but I do like Devil's Rejects, House of a Thousand Corpses. I do have to watch Three from Hell because I do have Shudder now. I do have Shudder now.
I was just gonna say it's on Shudder.
Yep, Shudder. I'm loving it. Creep Show, and then Channel Zero next.
Yep, Skin Crawlers is my favorite out of the new Creep Show.
Oh, that was awesome. That episode was insane. I'm glad you didn't tell me too much about it because. That was gory. I loved it. It was really good. I actually liked the Tobin Bell one too, with the guy that was drinking, kept drinking the beer, and it's a great mix of horror and comedy. I love it. Like, it's great. And then the gore is there. Like, I like the DJ Qual. It was in it. Tobin Bell, like a lot. It was awesome. The one that freaked me out, though, actually, that got me a little freaked out was the one where the chick was locked in the elevator with the other chick that was dead.
Yeah.
That one actually was creepy. That one was creepy.
Well, is this Creepshow something like Black Mirror, like a different kind of episode?
It's a horror anthology, yes.
It's a, yes.
So it's like a Black Mirror. It's a different, every episode's a different story.
Yes. Most horror anthologies are different stories each time. If you really enjoyed Creepshow, if you have Netflix, check out Blood Ride. It's Netherlands. I don't remember. It's not from the North America, but it's dubbed in English. If you can handle the dubbing, which is, it's all right.
I can handle dubs.
Well, I watch a lot of international horror movies, and most of the time they're either dubbed or I'm reading subtitles. And I would prefer to have it dubbed, even if it's shitty dub, than read subtitles. But Blood Ride is a really good horror anthology. It's on Netflix. It's new. It's got some new concepts to it, like different things that I haven't seen before in an anthology. Maybe I haven't seen every horror anthology, but I've seen a majority of them. And I like some of the stuff that's in some of the stories they've been telling.
All right, I'll check that out. I don't mind dubs. I like dubs. Have you, speaking of Netflix, have you ever seen the movie Rec, R-E-C?
Record? Yeah, R-E-C.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that is a great movie. That's better than Quarantine. It's like the original Quarantine, actually, but a lot of people don't know about that film, but that's way better.
I wonder if it's still on Netflix. I know it was on Netflix, well, Netflix Canada for a little bit there. I don't know.
Well, it was on over here. Well, but I know they made a Wrecked record too. That was trash.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and before we go, Regal asked like what century I would go back into, just to check it out. I would go back to the 1400s when Vlad the Impaler ruled Romania.
When he was
in Romania, I think that guy kicks fucking ass. I love the. Well, let's not get into what I really enjoy about him, but that would be the era that I would love to go to and just be like, I love your artwork here. Because I like Vlad. No, it's not a good thing to say because of the things that he did, but he was a great ruler for some time.
There's nothing wrong doing what you like, you know?
Nope. Plus the mystery of him being Dracula, right? That's what Draculas are based off of, is usually Vlad the Impaler.
And as we finish up the episode, we have the last question that we love to hear from all of our guests to help our later on smaller streamers, new streamers coming up in the world. What is the best advice that you can give a new or small streamer that is looking for some help?
I have two. Consistency, and just be yourself. People will see how genuine you are. People, even though you are on an internet and they're not next to you, they're not with you in real life, being genuine, because people will see right through the bullshit and you will lose people that way. Yeah, okay, you may be able to trick people for a little bit that you're happy about you playing this trendy game, but you really hate it deep down inside. People will see that. Just be genuine, be you, and play what you enjoy.
I like that. It's short, sweet, simple, and it's
the truth. I mean, it's consistency, right? And just be you. You don't have to play the trendy of the trendies to make it anywhere. You just have to work a little harder.
Yeah, that's what definitely... you know, coming from a viewer standpoint, when I've, we're all streamers here, but as like a viewer aspect, that's what I crave. Like, it was just like a breath of fresh air to find your stream, find your community. Cause as a huge horror fan, you don't really see too much horror on the platform. And it was just amazing to find somebody who is so huge into, horror, and it was like amazing to conversate with you, especially the Sunday skits that you do when you chat about horror movies. I'm like, oh my god, this is awesome, this is fantastic. And the kind of go in your community and be like, hey guys, what's going on? We just kind of dive right into a horror chat, and it's amazing. Yep.
I am very passionate about it, and this Sunday we'll be talking about Candyman.
Ooh.
I will stop by.
Sweets for the sweet. Yep.
And
thank you. I like the fact that you enjoy what I create here on Mixer.
It's awesome. Like I said, I mean, it's just, it's something the platform, definitely needs is, streamers like you. Just speaking from my point of view, I'm not the hugest fan of the Fortnite and the Apex Legends and stuff like that, but I do have friends that play those, and I do have streamer friends that play those, and I go there for the streamer. So
exactly. Yeah. And when people find you, that's what you want. You want them there for you. You don't want them there for the game.
Exactly.
I can switch games any friggin' day. I can go from Dead by Daylight, which is one of my main games. I can go to Dead by Daylight, to Days Gone, or to Borderlands 3, or Left 4 Dead 2, which is a game from, 2009, and still bring in the same amount of numbers or more, because there are people there for me. They're not there just for the game. They're there for the community. They're there for the fun that they have while they sit there.
Yeah, it's definitely what we strive for. Definitely. But, we thank you for taking time out of your night to join us. This was awesome. We loved chatting with you and talking to you. Thank you. Did you want to let everyone know where they can find you, your socials and your Mixer?
Sure. Thank you for having me on the show. I enjoy doing these. It's a lot of fun getting to meet people and learning about them and what they like to do outside of streaming. And, yeah, they can catch me Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Mountain Time on mixer.com/reanimator. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Mountain Time for Coffee Chat of Horrors, not horror, but horrors. People ask me, what do you say, horror? No, horrors. That is what we're doing. I'm on Instagram as Reanimator. I'm on Facebook as Reanimator, and on Twitter, Reanimator with an underscore, because someone has my name.
And I also want to thank you as well for not taking our souls.
Not yet
anyway, but we hope that when you do leave the basement, yet you do not take our souls and our mom's soul, please. Our mom
okay,
is very sacred.
I won't, I promise. I might take some limbs, but I won't take your soul.
All right. Then we're going to have to reanimate them.
Exactly.
We thank you again for joining us. And you can listen to this episode on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Pandora, and all your other podcast platforms. And of course, we are streaming this podcast always bi-weekly on Thursday, always live on mixer.com_1 for In Our Mom's Basement, because someone took our freaking name on Mixer, so we can't use In Our Mom's Basement. We have to use the number one. So frustrating. But I am Rage Quit Pat. That is Dan the Pizza Man. And once again, Reanimator, thank you so much for joining us. This was amazing. Thank you, the Horde and the Inner Mom's Basement community that have hung out with us as well tonight. You guys are legends. I am just going to change here and switch to Animal Crossing. But again, everyone have a wonderful night. Stay safe and stay healthy.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
You've just listened to the In Our Mom's Basement, a video game podcast, with your hosts Dan Geoffwe and Rage Quit Pat. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Google Play. See you in the next episode.